Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Matthew, verse of the New Testament, page 15. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed them, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were filled. Then they took what was left over the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were 5,000 men besides women and children.
All right, our second scripture this morning, if you'd like to join me, it's on page, It's on page 29 of your Old Testament in the Pew Bibles in front of you. From Genesis 32, verses 22 to 30. The same night, Jacob got up and took his 2 wives, his 2 maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Yabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So the man said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Some of you know that one of my favorite movies is called The Apostle. In the movie The Apostle, Robert Duvall has written and performs a wonderful character of an evangelical preacher who has fallen from grace in stupendous fashion. He has lost his wife, he's lost his home, he's lost his church, and at one point in the movie, he finds himself living upstairs in his mother's house. And one night, as he's up there in his room, he stands in his underwear late at night, and he's having a conversation with God. And his conversation goes something like this: "I'm mad at you, Lord. I don't know why this is happening. I know I've sinned. I know I've done things wrong, but why do you have to take everything away from me? Now, we've always been straight, Lord. You've always called me Sonny. I've always called you Jesus. Well, Jesus, I'm mad at you because I don't deserve this. And I don't know why it's all happening." And as this is going on and on and on, the phone rings downstairs. His mother, who's beautifully played by June Carter Cash, his mother answers the phone, and a voice on the other end says, "Do you have a crazy man over there or something?" And she says, "No, that's just my son." And she says, "Well, what's wrong with him?" And his mother says, "Well, ever since he was a little boy, sometimes he talks to God, and sometimes he yells at God." And as the voice on the other end starts threatening and chanting, "I'm going to call the police if you don't get him settled down," she just hangs up the phone and lays back on her pillow with a smile on her face and goes back to sleep. Last week, I spoke about answering God's call, stepping out in faith when you hear the word of the Lord, and specifically stepping out as a child. and coming to God, trusting that God's got everything under control. Now, let's take, for example, somebody maybe actually heard me last week, and maybe somebody stepped out and started listening to God's call on their life, and they're going down the road, and all of a sudden, bam, they hit a brick wall. Now, not everything goes right all the time. Sometimes things go astray. We start having struggles. We start having problems. Sometimes we feel like we're completely surrounded by trouble and strife all around us. Sometimes we feel all alone, like we're in an ocean and nobody's around. It sometimes feels like God maybe abandoned us. You're not alone. Jacob in his story, Robert Duvall playing the preacher, they are people who've hit struggles and they know they're not alone. In their struggle, actually, what they need to do is turn to God, because God is there. You are not alone. Now, we have reasons why we go through struggles. God has reasons why we go through struggles. It could be that maybe we're getting off track and God's trying to get us right back on the right road. It could be that maybe there's something in our personal lives that we need to look at. Maybe some repentance. Maybe some things we need to straighten up and get right before God's going to let us continue down that road. But remember something. God does not leave us alone. God is there. I want to get back to Jacob. If you don't know the story very well, up to this point in the story, Jacob, who has been chosen by God, we all know Jacob as, God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so Jacob has been chosen by God to be a great leader. But at this point in the story, if you know the story, Jacob has kind of proved himself to be kind of a scoundrel. He's selfish. He's devious. He's deceptive. Jacob's kind of a jerk. And on this night in particular, he knows that in the morning, he's got to cross that river that he sent his wife and kids across. He's got to go across that river, and he's got to meet his big brother Esau face to face. And Esau, who he stole his inheritance from, is bringing 400 men with him. Jacob is a little worried. Jacob is starting to feel that some of his chickens are coming home to roost. And this night, Jacob is doing some wrestling. He's not wrestling with demons. This night, Jacob's going to do wrestling with God. The good news is, God is not afraid of a fight. God is not afraid of a little screaming and yelling. Yes, there is a time to be still and know that I am the Lord, but this isn't one of them. This is a time to wrestle with God. Some of you, like myself, have had the joy of raising teenagers. I hear the laughing, and I know you did. And teenagers, I want you to listen up, because this is for you too. Some of you, if you haven't raised your own teenagers, you've probably got nieces, nephews, family, friends. In short, you know teenagers seemingly love more than anything else to argue. But that's not the point. That's not the case. Some years back, I found myself a single father with four teenagers, all teenagers at the same time, and all, depending on the day, living with me. Usually I had three, sometimes I had all four of them living with me at the same time. And in the midst of all this crisis and struggle, my mother, in her grandmotherly wisdom, bought me a book. And it was a really wonderful book, because it didn't teach me how to raise teenagers. What it taught me was how to understand teenagers a little better, how to communicate with teenagers a little better. And what I found out in this book is that being a teenager, that's a rough time to live. We can all remember that. When you're a teenager, your body's doing all kinds of weird things. Sometimes you don't know what's going on. You got chemicals going everywhere, and you're being pushed and pressured by school and friends and everything else. And sometimes the intellectual levels and the maturity levels and the mental levels of a teenager are kind of all out of whack. In short, they know what they want, but they don't know how to get it. They know what they want to say, but they don't know how to say it. And that's a frustrating feeling. And so it comes out as arguing. And here's the really screwed up part. If a teenager is arguing with you a lot, it's because that teenager trusts you. Yeah. Teenagers, if they're arguing a lot, it's because they trust that you are the kind of person that's not going to abandon them, not going to stop loving them, not going to turn your back on them. And somewhere deep down inside, they might know that maybe, just maybe, you've got something that can help them out. Something that can make them a better person and help them get through their struggle. For me, this is a great metaphor for our relationship with God. God, the patient, experienced, educated, mature God, is the parent. And all of us, and I don't care if you're 19 or 90, all of us get frustrated sometimes. All of us have crises that we don't know how to solve. And it's frustrating. And it's scary. And sometimes we have to yell at God to help us out and help us figure it out. But God, like a good parent, is someone we can trust. We can trust that God's not going to leave us alone. We can trust that God's not going to abandon us or stop loving us just because we're frustrated and angry. Psalm 32 has a great little passage that I love. It says, "While I was silent, my strength was dried up. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me." While I was silent, I was struggling. What the psalm writer is saying here is that the psalm writer knew that he had some things wrong in his life that he had to get right, but he was struggling with it. He was fighting with it. And as long as he kept silent, he physically was struggling. His strength was gone. He felt like he was beat up. And it was only when he opened his mouth and started talking to God that the healing process began. And here's the really good news. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. When we think of people who are touched by God or have God's hand on them, quite often we think they have a blessed life. Everything's going great. But the way I see this, the psalmist is saying, when I was in my deepest, darkest struggles, when I was hurting the most, that's when God's hand was heaviest upon me. We have a God who loves us so much that when we're in our deepest, darkest places, His hand is holding us and molding us. When we're in those places, God is actually at the closest to us. That's a reassurance for me. In fact, for me, that's a perfect example of what John Wesley called prevenient grace. When we can look back and see God working in our lives after we've come through the struggle. Now I want to get back one more time to Jacob. Back in Genesis, as I used to say back in the old movies, meanwhile, back in Genesis, Jacob had been wrestling all night with this man. Jacob was exhausted. And at one point, the man, seeing that Jacob was not going to give up, strikes Jacob on the hip, knocks it out of joint. And seeing that the sun is coming up, the man says, "Let me go, the day is about to break." But Jacob says, "No, I won't let you go, not until you bless me." Now Jacob was fighting all night. Jacob was broken physically. Jacob was broken spiritually. Jacob was weak. And let's face it, Jacob was not going to win this fight. But Jacob was not going to let go. Not until he got that blessing. And sure enough, the man blessed Jacob, gave him the name Israel, and Jacob named that place after the fact that he struggled with man, and he struggled with God, and he prevailed. Now, If there's 2 points I hope I can leave you guys with today, it's that God is not afraid of a fight. You're not going to bloody God's nose. You're not going to step on God's toes. God's not going to abandon you or turn God's back on you because you fight and struggle and get angry in the middle of a crisis. In fact, what God was saying in the psalm was, I'll be right there with you. Now, I want to get one thing straight. This is not to say that God causes struggles and suffering. We, imperfect people living in an imperfect world, we cause suffering. God allows suffering, but God is always there with us during that struggle and does not leave us alone, does not abandon us or stop loving us when we get frustrated and mad. The other thing I want to leave you with is that no matter how deep or how dark the night, no matter how long or how painful the struggle, don't let go till you get those answers. Don't let go till you get that blessing. Don't let go.